Illinois' pension costs are impacting other parts of government. That's not just the governor talking. It's Doug Whitley, the president of the Illinois Chamber of Commerce. He testified before a House Senate Conference Committee working to come up with a solution, and he joins us today. Doug, now you back a plan that unions have opposed, a plan House Speaker Mike Madigan put together that requires workers pay more, work longer, and get less in retirement. Why do you feel this one is the right way to go?
Well, the $100 billion obligation is so huge that it is appropriate that the existing pension program be restructured. Frankly, if it's not restructured, I'm not sure it's sustainable, and therefore some of the pensioners may very well find that their pension programs are going to be insolvent in the not too terribly distant future. So restructuring, I think, has to be a component. But there's no way we're going to restructure $100 billion worth of debt, so I also fully expect that the state's going to have to reallocate resources or raise taxes in order to meet the obligation. I think it's, from my perspective, a shared sacrifice approach, which suggests that the old way of doing things is no longer sustainable and must be recalibrated, and that means people are going to have to work longer. Employees are going to have to make a greater contribution to their own pension retirement systems. And other benefits are going to be reduced.
Now, at this point, there's that plan, which the House Speaker has pushed. As we mentioned, it made it through the House, but failed pretty dramatically in the Senate. And the Senate has its own plan, which would, admittedly, it seems, save less money. But it would give workers, primarily give them a choice of whether or not they want to get state-subsidized health care or the cost-of-living adjustments that that they get in retirement. You don't think that plan saves enough money?
No, Sean, I think that problem is double. That proposal is doubly flawed. First, it doesn't reduce the cost enough to make any difference whatsoever. It will not move the needle. We're talking about $100 billion, and the amount of savings that are attributed to the Cullerton plan is less than $10 billion. And this is, you know, over a lifetime. The other element of it is that this swap or offering of the health care cost is actually probably going to work out to be an added expense, which has not yet been actuarially determined as to what that cost is going to be. I'm skeptical enough to believe that the trade-off may actually cost the state, and that is you and I as taxpayers, more than the existing system. I would quickly add that Moody's investors just put out a report earlier this week in which they said $100 billion was short. In fact, they're estimating that the total liability could very well be $150 billion. And part of that, or a major part of that, is the fact that our state pension systems have been projecting 8% annual growth year over year, when in fact in the private sector, most of those projections for pension growth are closer to 3 to 5%. We ought to get more realistic about the size of this obligation.
Now, I will point out, too, that I'm also a member of the state university retirement system working for a university, but I hear a lot of different thoughts on this matter from people on various sides of it. What do you say to those who point out that, you know, they've paid what was asked of them, the state has not always done that, and they argue, why should workers be penalized at this point?
You know, I am totally sympathetic to the argument that the employees and the retirees have regarding the bond and relationship with their employer. There is no question that the employees did, in fact, by mandate, make their contributions to their pension systems out of every paycheck, and that the employer, the state of Illinois, consistently, frequently over the last 30 or 40 years, has avoided its role. They've either underfunded, or they've had pension holidays where they've skipped in total, or they've sold pension bonds. But the sad part of it is that the General Assembly also oftentimes sweetened benefits, increased benefits, and made it easier to retire for the employees without any recognition that that also had a tax cost to it or an employer obligation to it. So I think that there's been a little bit of a charade being pulled on the employees over the years thinking that constant improvements in their pension programs had no liability or cost. I think one of the issues that comes to play is that for some employees, it is easy to retain or return or receive all of the dollars that the public employee put into their pension program in less than 5 years. And given life expectancy today, particularly in the case of an early retiree, that's a pretty good deal.
And we're talking with Doug Whitley. He is president of the Illinois Chamber of Commerce. There is a constitutional question on that plan that Speaker Madigan is pushing and the one that you support, a question of whether or not it would hold up in a court challenge. The Senate president says his plan would. He's not so sure about the House plan.
You know, I don't have a lot of patience with the constitutional questions that's being raised. I in the cases of some legislators, I think it's been an excuse to do nothing. The fact of the matter is there are only seven people in Springfield for whom the question of constitutionality should mean anything at all, and that's the members of the Illinois Supreme Court. It's not to, in my opinion, it's not to the need of the 177 members. They should do what they have to do to bring viability and sustainability to the existing pension programs. Whatever change is made to the state's pension programs is going to get litigated. It's going to end up in the Supreme Court, whether it's a small program or an extensive program. If it's a minor reduction, such as the Cullerton program, or a more significant reduction, such as the Madigan program, or more importantly, some new hybrid program that we haven't seen yet, which I hope will come out of this conference committee that's been appointed by the General Assembly, whatever happens, it's going to go to the court, and the court will rule. And the worst thing that could happen would be the court would say it's unconstitutional and then give no guidance whatsoever for making it legal. I don't think that'll happen. I think the court will step up to the task that's before them and issue an opinion that will be instructive and hopefully an opinion which says, given the size of the crisis in this state, the General Assembly did what they need to do to satisfy the financial obligations of the state and to keep the state solvent and whole.
Now, Doug Oberhelman, who's the CEO of Caterpillar, recently chastised business people saying they weren't speaking up enough on this issue. He said
right. It's
been a lot of a one-sided debate and a lot of the public employee unions have been doing most of the talking. He says businesses should demand more pension reform. Do you agree with that business people maybe haven't gotten as involved as they should on this issue?
You know, it's not just business people. It's the citizens of our state, every voter and every taxpayer. For the life of me, I question why individuals don't understand that cost is yours and mine, our neighbors, our children. It's not going away. It's real. We've got a stake in this. The legislators have only heard dramatically from public employees and public employee retirees because they get it. It's their pension. It's their monthly check. It's their system that they worked in and they earned a retirement. Their benefits are at risk because it is likely that there will be some adjustment to what they've known. You know, there are a few hundred thousand of those people. There are literally millions of taxpayers in our state who are going to be who are on the hook for making the payment. So the individual complacent neighbor who's mowing his grass and drinking his beer and cooking out in the backyard needs to start having a conversation with their neighbors about my tax bill. I owe the state of Illinois $21,000 in my household to cover this pension cost.
Now, the unions have argued that more revenue is necessary, and you especially, I know, oppose any plans that would eliminate some of the business tax breaks that are out there. You know, is there any type of change in the tax code that you could support if it was meant to, you know, help this issue especially?
Sean, you're putting words in my mouth, and that's not quite what I've said.
Okay, go ahead and clarify that. I'm
sorry. Perfectly clear. I think the idea of dedicating more revenue to the pension obligations is likely And I would not be surprised to see increased taxes be imposed to try to satisfy the $100 billion or $150 billion obligation. I'm not sympathetic at all to the labor union's We Are One coalition initiative suggesting that all of these costs should be paid for by increased taxes on employers. Many of their proposals are bogus proposals. And so I take great exception to that, but I do not deny that this obligation is huge, it's real, and it will not be satisfied by simply asking the public employees and retirees to take a haircut on their pension benefits. It is bigger than that.
So is there something then specific that you would propose to raise that additional revenue?
No, I'm not going to say that at this time. For one thing, I'm not prepared to talk about any new revenue until I see the General Assembly reduce the benefits. I want to see the reductions first before I talk about how we finance our way out of this program. This is like a bankruptcy. The state of Illinois needs a workout plan, and it's going to be a workout plan for 30 or 40 years. And quite frankly, I've been rather amazed that there's not been more discussion about the issue of the tax side or the finance side of this equation. It's not all about just reducing benefits. It is about a workout plan to get Illinois fiscally solvent over the next 40 years.